This is the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the first UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast of 2021. My name is David Maguire and I'm a senior officer in the UK FIU. For this edition, we're focusing on county lines and maximising the intelligence of suspicious activity reports, or SARs, to its fullest potential to tackle this criminality. I'll be talking with Matt Edwards from the UK FIU's SARs Inquiries in Action team, the team that identifies and disseminates to law enforcement agencies SARs relating to suspected county lines activity. And I'm also joined by Amy Wideman from the National County Lines Coordination Centre, a team that's jointly hosted by the National Crime Agency and the National Police Chiefs Council to tackle this threat. As with all our podcasts, no active or sensitive operational work is discussed. Everything is at a public, not protectively marked level, and panellists' opinions are independently theirs. Now, the Serious Violence Strategy of 2018 defined county lines as a term used to describe gangs and organised criminal networks involved in exporting illegal drugs into areas within the UK, using dedicated mobile phone lines or another form of deal line. They are likely to exploit children and vulnerable adults to move and store drugs and money, and they will often use coercion, intimidation, violence and weapons. But how do SARs fit into this, and how can they assist in tackling it? Well, the UK FIU assesses SARs submitted each day using keywords and glossary codes to identify those of most value for dissemination to law enforcement partners and fast-tracks them accordingly. And just to clarify for listeners, glossary codes are codes which the UK FIU encourages reporters to include in their SARs relating to specific suspected criminality. Matt, if we can turn to you first. In 2018, your team came across a SAR relating to a teenager which included the term county lines, which at the time was something new in terms of county lines being identified in SARs. I'm going to ask you in a minute about county lines and the SARs the UK FIU fast tracks to law enforcement, which identify potentially vulnerable people. But in advance of that, can you just give us a brief explanation of what fast tracking actually is?
So our team each day will review SARs that were submitted the previous day, or where it's a Monday, anything submitted from Friday onwards, against keywords and glossary codes to break it down into sort of threat areas, for want of a better way of describing it, which the sort of vulnerable persons element is quite crucial. So within that, each day somebody will go through the vulnerable persons SARs that have come from the glossary codes and keywords that are relevant for that stream and assess them. Those that are deemed of the highest priority around vulnerability are fast-tracked to the relevant law enforcement agency that day. So as an example, if we were reading about a vulnerable person in sort of London, then it would go to the Metropolitan Police. If it was Birmingham, West Midlands Police as an example, for them to then review and look to take action. And in that particular case, the force did respond very quickly to say that they'd been out and that the person was being a victim of what was a form of cuckooing really by their neighbours who were actually involved in drug dealing.
Is there much crossover between vulnerable person SARs and county lines activity?
A common feature in county lines drug supply is the exploitation of young and vulnerable people, where the dealers will frequently target children and also vulnerable adults with mental health or addiction problems to act as drug runners or move cash so that they themselves can then stay under the radar of law enforcement. In some cases, dealers will take over a local property normally belonging to a vulnerable person and use it to operate their criminal activity from, which is known as cuckooing. I recall one such example where we identified that activity within a SAR was taking place. The intelligence was disseminated to the local force, who responded within 24 hours to advise they'd visited the address, and safeguarding mechanisms were being put in place with other partnership agencies to protect that person. People exploited in this way will quite often be exposed to physical, mental and sexual abuse, and in some instances will be trafficked to areas a long way from home as part of the network's drug dealing business. As we've seen in child sexual exploitation, children often don't see themselves as victims or realise that they're being groomed to become involved in criminality. So it's important we all play our part in recognising and understanding county lines activity and speaking out where we've got concerns.
Now, there's no specific SAR glossary code for county lines, So how do you identify potential county lines activity in your daily SAR searches?
It is encouraging that many reporters have increased education, knowledge and awareness around county lines activity and have become more proficient in identifying such activity related to both adults and children. However, use of the term county lines still remains relatively infrequent within SARS reporting. Our team have been upskilled to look out for key indicators of county lines activity, particularly within the daily vulnerable persons related work streams. The National County Lines Coordination Centre have provided us with a scoring matrix for potential county lines activity, which we also use as a guide. The upskilling in this area correlates with the risk-based decision-making the team undertake when analysing SARS, based on the profiles of subjects, elements of vulnerability, coercion, and other factors outlined in the activity under suspicion, whether that activity is potentially county lines related or not. For example, a teenager accessing banking facilities in branches in different locations or at locations that aren't in proximity to their home address would be a red flag. We've had examples where the activity has been undertaken many miles away from where the subject is purported to reside, sometimes in a completely different part of the country entirely. So potential travel to another area that doesn't fit with the profile of what would be expected on a young individual's account could be indicative that someone else is using that account by paying in or withdrawing funds in that area, but also it's often the case that the young person themselves may well have been trafficked by the crime groups that area to carry out criminal activity related to it.
And I'm guessing the reason why there isn't a specific glossary code for county lines is because it would just be so difficult for a reporter to actually know or to suspect that it was county lines criminality.
I think it can be quite difficult because some of the activity that's outlined may hit across different types of threat areas. So in terms of identifying it as purely county lines, sometimes the activity may be indicative of that, but actually isn't. So I think it can be difficult for reporters to be definitive. So it's just helpful whether there are elements of modern slavery or, you know, the exploitation of children under 18 or vulnerable people, where we will capture those where the right keywords and glossary codes have been used anyway. So it's almost would be unnecessary to have that as an addition. But where people use the term, which we have seen examples of, we will also pick those out and assess those. What's particularly useful with that is we've seen with some of the drug SARS, which may not be around vulnerable people, is they're actually some of the offenders, where they will actually look at the profiles of things that are going on around use of taxi services at, you know, high frequency, and will actually say, we suspect this person is involved in that, more as a suspect than as a victim, which again is very useful for law enforcement.
So what could reporters be doing that would assist the UKFIU and law enforcement in potentially identifying county lines activity?
The UKFIU and the National County Lines Coordination Centre have been working with the reporting sector to upskill knowledge of many areas of criminality, including county lines, to improve SARS reporting. And excellent progress has been made in this area in the last 2 years. We would encourage reporters to ensure all of their staff are upskilled to identify relevant activity and articulate these suspicions clearly within their own submissions or in information that they provide to reporting officers within their institutions. And I'd certainly recommend the reporting sector continue to use glossary codes consistently in their submissions, as this is instrumental in enabling us to identify relevant SARS as part of our triage process. The SARS glossary code and reporting routes document, which outlines to SARS reporters to use various glossary codes when reporting activity against a number of specific threat areas, is a key document for that. And so where we have inconsistencies, that can be a problem because there is a likelihood we will miss it if the right keywords and glossary codes aren't used. So they are important. And some of the main ones for us would be the XXV2XX, which is used when reporting activity that presents a risk to vulnerable adults. Then we've got the XXV3, which is used for reporting activity presents a risk to children, whether that's sexual abuse or other exploitation. So that's for anyone under 18. We want that code rather than the V2. There's an XXDRUXX for drugs, which again is very much more aimed probably around suspects or people involved in that, but again can be used to capture people who may be victims of county lines as well. And then we've also got a relatively new code, the XXVAXX around virtual assets, which is quite important where we've started to see increases in money laundering into cryptocurrency. So that's quite pivotal where movement of cash by mules into those areas. Using those codes will allow us to pick that up on our cryptocurrency work stream, which is separate. So it's just making sure that the right codes are used to help us to capture the relevant information that we'll be able to then assess on a daily basis.
The UKFIU is looking to produce a guidance document for law enforcement agencies on county line SARS searching on ARENA and MoneyWeb. And ARENA is the key software tool in the analysis of SARS, and MoneyWeb's the online portal through which law enforcement accesses the SARS database. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
It's an opportunity to use UK law enforcement's collective resources to increase knowledge and understanding of county lines methodologies, improve partnership working, and deliver enhanced strategic oversight. I think one of the objectives has been to really help law enforcement to have a standardised guidance to follow from, where perhaps within different force areas people aren't sure. It's good to have something to refer to that everyone's using and has brought different skills, knowledge and experience of that area together in one place. We participated in a dial-in a couple of months ago, which was hosted by the UKFIU's SARS exploitation team and was attended by a number of forces and regions from across the country. Both our team and also the National County Lines Coordination Centre spoke at that and have contributed answers to questions that were raised by the forces and regions following that event. The SARS exploitation team are working with the County Lines Coordination Centre to take the guidance forward, with the objective of the County Lines Coordination Centre maintaining updates to that guidance where variations to trends are identified so that law enforcement are kept abreast of changing circumstances and methodologies.
I'm going to bring in Amy now from the National County Lines Coordination Centre because it works closely with the UKFIU to make best use of SARS, to best exploit SAR material in assisting with our overall understanding and identifying opportunities for action. To enhance the law enforcement response still further, the Multi-Agency County Lines Coordination Centre was established. So can you tell us a little about the NCLCC and what it actually does?
Of course, thank you. So, as you say, NCLCC stands for the National County Lines Coordination Centre, and the centre was set up in 2018, bringing together officers from across the NCA, police and regional organised crime units to develop the national intelligence picture of county lines and to prioritise our action against the most serious offenders. We also work to engage with partners across government and the private sector, so including health, welfare and education spheres to tackle the wider issues that come with county lines. So in addition to helping the NCA and policing partners to work together more effectively and deliver a more comprehensive response to the county lines threat, the centre also assists in developing a whole system, multi-agency approach to tackling county lines, which I'm sure you can appreciate is vital to ensuring that vulnerable people, whether that be young people or adults, are identified and safeguarded. Understanding the factors behind the demand for drugs and recovering proceeds of crime to essentially make this kind of activity less attractive for individuals to become involved in. Within the National County Lines Coordination Centre, we have a number of different kind of roles and functions, one of which is a dedicated financial team. So that consists of financial investigators and financial intel officers. They work hard to improve our understanding of the illicit finance flows within county lines and also to identify opportunities for us to take action, whether that be in partnership with a force or a regional organised crime unit, the NCA or other key stakeholders, again, to recover proceeds of crime and to help improve our understanding of how the finance flows within county lines. The illicit finance flows within county lines is a significant intelligence gap for us. So we're working really hard to improve our understanding of how the money moves from within county lines.
So are there any tangible successes you can share for our listeners?
Obviously, not being able to go into specific details simply because these are kind of ongoing live investigations. But at the moment, the financial team are supporting a total of 20 investigations across the regional organised crime units and the police forces. And the support that we give to those teams is specialist financial investigative support. So whether that be creating financial profiles or to obtaining financial information from the banking sector. And I mean, in brief, this support that we've been able to offer has assisted on things like strike days, so days of action where the forces or the regional organised crime unit are going to arrest their subjects. We've been able to support the investigative teams by creating financial strategies, which includes what kind of items should the officers be looking for when they're executing the search warrants, and also facilitating some international inquiries as well from a financial perspective. Obviously, you know, with some of the officers being in the NCA, we have got that international reach, which can really help develop and support these County Lions investigations from a financial perspective.
Great. So you've mentioned you're looking at illicit finance flows and that there's an intelligence gap in this area relating to County Lines. How do SARs fall into this?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So our financial team work very closely with the UKFIU to make the most of SARs. Certainly, you know, the information and the opportunities that they provide to us are extremely valuable. You know, we're always keen to do more in terms of exploiting SAR material to assist not only in kind of tactical opportunities, but also in our overall understanding of the financial aspects which are specific to County Lions. And as I say, identifying opportunities to take further action. So we've worked closely with the UKFIU to try and identify SARs relating to County Line organised crime groups and individuals. At times this has proved problematic due to the relatively low value of transactions at that level of the drugs supply chain. But needless to say, you know, our engagement with partners in the financial sector has certainly improved awareness of County Line's issues, which has resulted in more focused County Line and vulnerabilities being reported. So not only have SARs been used to assist in identifying individuals involved in County Lines and the County Lines typologies, they've also been used to assist to identify potential vulnerable victims who are either money mules or victims of exploitations by the County Line groups, and safeguarding issues have been dealt with by forces. The SARs are really important, going back to the safeguarding issue. The kind of key features within County Lines and the business model that County Lines groups use is that they will exploit young and vulnerable individuals, and that can be seen through the financial activity. So, for example, they may choose to exploit young individuals by putting the proceeds of the criminality through bank accounts that are in the names of these young individuals. Or indeed further exploiting vulnerable adults, again, to use their financial bank accounts to launder the money through, but also extends beyond the financial elements, the exploitation. So we see a lot of individuals being exploited for their homes. So the organised crime groups will take over their homes in order to store drugs and deal drugs from there.
Is there anything that SAR reporters could be doing that would assist you in tackling the County Lines problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is part of the work that we've been doing with the task force in trying to kind of get a comprehensive set of positive indicators together that for people who would be the SAR reporters, as you say, to recognise and be able to report those suspicions. At street level, at the County Lines supply model, we know that cash is primarily used between street dealers and their suppliers. So, for example, a drug user will pass across a £20 note to the dealer, and the proceeds from that kind of street level dealing are generally used in day-to-day living. So things like the purchase of designer clothing or more expensive lifestyle items such as nice TVs, nice high-value watches. And at this kind of level, there's very little evidence of asset acquisition, such as the purchase of perhaps property or vehicles that can be subject to confiscation. We're comfortable with that. We're comfortable that we understand how the money moves to that level. But as you kind of move further up the supply chain, our understanding is less clear, particularly with regard to the movement of funds between those who control the county line and what we call the middle market. So the middle market is a term that we used for the individuals who are involved in obtaining large quantities of drugs that they then distribute across the country to county line groups as well as to other drug dealers. There's been a limited number of recent cases involving the use of Bitcoin, which is believed to be a growth area generally for the laundering of proceeds of crime, and certainly isn't specific to county lines. In fact, as I say, it has been a limited number of cases and not something that we're seeing as a definite trend. You know, we do suspect that other county line groups will be potentially using Bitcoin and the Bitcoin cash deposit machines. But what we need to understand is, you know, further up this chain, where does the money go? How does it move? What methods are being used to launder and reinvest the profits from the criminality? We are currently undertaking work with the banks to highlight the county line issues and increase their awareness of known financial methodologies used. And our aim going forward is to try and identify any new or unknown methods being used by the county line groups, which will obviously then enable us to increase our effectiveness against that threat. And better inform our knowledge as to the individuals involved and how they're operating. Just going back to the work we're doing with banks, we are working to create an education package that will hopefully be incorporated into the continuous professional development programmes of high street banks, so that individuals working front of house, if you will, in those banks and encountering these individuals really have a good, clear understanding of what they're looking for, what indicators may suggest that these individuals are involved in county lines, and we hope that will be rolled out fairly soon.
What about any certain red flags or indicators which we could all maybe look out for to assist law enforcement and perhaps help to safeguard potential victims?
Typical red flag indicators for involvement in county line activity can include use of accounts held by youngsters, especially if the amounts are higher than would be expected for the age of the account holder. Youngsters depositing cash at branches, possibly accompanied by an older person who remains physically distanced from the transaction. Accounts where cash is credited at a branch outside the geographic location of the account holder. The use of post office to make cash deposits, certainly payments relating to hire car, vehicle rentals, payments for ride shares, payments for temporary insurance cover, definitely payments for rail travel or indeed coach travel, as well as payments to accommodations such as Airbnb. Those are kind of indicators for the financial side of things, but it might be worth me just kind of speaking through some of the general signs of involvement within county lines. And that can be things like an increase in visitors and cars to a house or flat, new and regularly changing residents, perhaps changes in the resident's mood or demeanour, the perhaps more obvious things such as substance misuse or drug paraphernalia. Changes in the way young people may dress, so that kind of goes back to us knowing that at that lower end of the tier, the dealers will kind of reinvest their money into designer clothes, and again sometimes we come across young adults or vulnerable adults who have got items perhaps that we would normally think they couldn't necessarily afford, such as clothes or jewellery. Certainly residents or young people going missing, and that can potentially be for long periods of times. County line groups will exploit children and get them to travel distances away from their home to act as runners to deliver the drugs. And then certainly truancy or disengagement from school, increasing antisocial behaviour within the community, and sadly unexplained injuries. You know, there is within County Lines, of course, there's the violence element, and again, that's why it's really important for us to be able to identify the individuals who may be at risk of being victims, so that we can do the necessary to help safeguard them.
Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast, but you can find out a lot more about County Lines and how it impacts on stakeholders in the SARS regime by checking out the UK FIU magazine, SARS in Action, available on the National Crime Agency website. Issue 8, which was published in November 2020, features contributions from the NCLCC and also the UK FIU SARS exploitation team. And as we've been hearing, there's been a lot of work with law enforcement agencies around this issue. There's also plenty of guidance on the NCA website in relation to what to do if you have concerns that County Lines drug dealing may be happening in your area. I'd like to thank our panellists, Matt Edwards and Amy Wideman, for their input. And don't forget, you can provide us with feedback and suggestions for future podcast topics via our Twitter and LinkedIn pages. These sites are the best place to keep up to date with our upcoming podcasts, webinars and products. So, until next time, I've been David Maguire, and this has been a UK FIU podcast.
This is the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast.